Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. You know what I'm going to say. The Holy Spirit is mightily moving by His Spirit, and He's always up to something good. And I thank God for that work that He does in His people. I thank God for all of you who love God's Word, who seek to do all that's in His heart. The Lord loves us with great passion, and God is mighty. He thinks of everything. There's nothing that He doesn't think about when He gives a plan. See, the plan of God is revealed from faith to faith. It's always been that way. It's revealed from faith to faith. When the Lord called virtually everybody, I think David was the most progressive. He wasn't slow to believe what God could do in his life. He caught on quick because he did something that others didn't do. He lived in God's presence. Most of the things by the Holy Spirit, I learned it in the Lord's presence. But most of the people who God called to do something, they didn't see it. God called Gideon a mighty man of valor. That's what the angel told him. He didn't see it. He didn't feel like a mighty man of valor. But he had something. He had a heart to obey. A heart to obey God. He had the good heart God could work with. And all the things he dealt with it. The last broadcast that the Lord had me doing, we've been talking about where rebellion comes from, and reluctance. And the Lord, you know, He did something I didn't expect. He had me illustrate it with the parable of the sower that Jesus taught. And He spoke this parable to the Jews, and then those that were with Him, when they got along with Him, they asked Him to break it down, and He's breaking it down. And I've been using that part of that parable to illustrate how to deal with the heart. Now, Gideon's heart fell. He felt like he was of the lowest tribe, the least of the tribe, the least of the family in that tribe. And he didn't feel like he was worthy of such a responsibility. But he didn't discount. And his first assignment was to tear down his father's idols. Backtrack a little bit. If the Lord had used him to do a mighty work without tearing that idol down, Israel was so contrary, they would have thought that the idol did it. And they would have put more of them in junk. They would have went and got made more of that junk. His first assignment was to destroy the idols. And most of the time, every time the Lord gives us something to do, we don't proceed further till we destroy our idols. We have to get rid of the rocks that have kept the roots of God's word from growing in our hearts. We have to get rid of the thorns that suffocate the word of God and work and destroy the charge of God's word in us. See, the word is alive, but the way we respond to it, that's the power. The word of God is already powerful. But it doesn't do the world any good until we receive the charge of it and do something. And to prevent that from happening, the enemy sends distractions. Things we worry about. If our attention's on something more than God's will, it's a distraction and we can't function right. Now the word of God is right there, but we have to respond to it. We have to receive it. We have to speak it. And we become people of action. We become dangerous to the enemy in that condition. So the enemy had to keep us out of the loop. first order of business, Gideon had to destroy his daddy's idols. Because the men would have probably tried to kill him. So he did it at night. And then when he did it, his daddy realized how stupid it was and called him Jerubbaal. The men wanted to stone him. He said, let Baal defend himself. And they called Gideon Jerubbaal. But Gideon didn't see what God saw in him. He had courage to do that. And I'm telling you right now, if you endeavor to follow God, it's going to take courage. It's going to take walking down the aisle courage. It's going to take being set aside courage. It's going to take being different courage. It's going to be, you're going to have, it's going to take confrontational courage. And you're going to have to believe in what God gave you to do. You can't be a coward. You can't be a sissy. You got to go forward and not backwards. That's just the way it is. And that's precisely what Gideon did. And many others. And every time he got to an obstacle, every time he found a rock in his garden, in the garden of his heart, he dealt with it. He said, now Lord, he knew he had to receive what God was saying in order to be any good to God. So he said, Lord, if I be a mighty man of God, of valor, he put out a fleece. He said, let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. And that happened. Now I may have it backwards, but that's what, then he said, well, let the ground be dry and the fleece be wet. I mean, you know, let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. He reversed it. And the Lord did it. And he received what God was saying. We don't put out fleeces like that, but we can ask the Holy Spirit, and Gideon didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside. That's what's so amazing about these Old Testament men of God, men and women of God. They didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside. The Holy Spirit will come upon them to help them do get on board and stay on board. And women of God, they didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside. The Holy Spirit will come upon them to help them do what they had to do. They had to believe from the heart what God was doing. They had to believe to get on board and stay on board with what God was doing. Will come upon them to help them do what they had to do. They had to believe from the heart what God was doing. They had to believe to get on board and stay on board with what God was doing. They responded to the word of God, and they endeavored to obey, and then the anointing operated in their life like it should. Now, what God required, he needed to give a victory to Israel in a way that they couldn't vaunt themselves against God. Because they were terrible people. That's why they were in captivity in the first place. That's why they were chased into the mountain caves. Because they were hard-headed folks. And an inferior, a less aggressive army chased them up there. That's what sin does. Sin will give your enemy the advantage over you. And I hope I don't see it happen in this country, but there's people steeped in rebellion. But among those that love God, they're going to do fine. I saw a day in a dream that in a time of turmoil, people were in great despair. And I was happy. And I woke up wondering, why would I be happy like that? I wasn't just happy. I was full of joy and peace. And I had prospered. But I wasn't happy because of the prosperity. I was happy from the inside out, not the outside in. In a time of turmoil. And I believe I'm going to run into that day one day. But so it was in the days of Midian. In the days when Israel was captive to Midian. And the Lord wanted somebody that would obey him. He wanted it to look so small that Israel wouldn't be able to vaunt themselves and say, we did it, because they were very contrary people. When people get lukewarm, they get off track bad. So every step that Gideon had to take, it took walking down the aisle of courage. It took defiance against the world. You know, it felt like stage fright. But every time he overcame, it got easier. He started out with 30,000 men. And the Lord said, that's too many. He said, tell everybody that's afraid to fight to go home. So 20,000 left. He had 10,000. He said, still too many. And he separated them at the river the way that they drink. The ones put their hands to their mouth and lapped like a dog. He set them aside. And the other ones he divided. They had to go back home. So it was Gideon and 300 men with him. Now this victory shows us the power of God's wisdom. If you ever are tempted to doubt it, read the story. When it looks like you're alone, when it looks like you're a failure, when it don't look big, when it don't look good, and when God move in your life and have you to do something, it probably won't look good. It'll be unseen. Nobody understands it. Nobody will know it, but it's powerful. And he had, now these men were obedient men. These men wanted change. These men trusted God for the change. All of them. All 301 of them. Because they did exactly what Gideon had them to do. They put oil in pitchers and then they lit it and covered it up. And then they blew the trumpet. You know, when at the order of Gideon, they blew the trumpet and lit the lamps. And they had surrounded the camp, and the camp thought that they went into panic, and they killed each other with the sword, man against man, in that panic, and fled. And the 300 men followed them and killed them. And then they were joined by others and finished the job. And they got Oreb and Zeeb and killed them, the kings of Midian. See, you don't have to surrender to the enemy, even though you look outnumbered, even though it look like you won't survive. See, the remnant always wins, and the meek will inherit the earth. These are the most powerful people that would not surrender because they love God. They see Him. You can't fail seeing God. Faith looks to God. Fear looks to size of man. You know, when the spies went to spy out Canaan land, they saw giants and they were afraid to fight. Sometimes people look at the size, well, people won't believe me, and they get in fear. What will people think of me? They get in fear. My ministry don't look big enough. They won't qualify me. You don't need them distracted. So many preachers with me. And they preach funny. They preach funny. They preach off track. They don't preach the word like they should. They quell it. They take orders from men for money. And Jesus plainly said, you can't serve God and money. So the seed that's sown among thorns is a distraction. And the enemy will try to distract you with something God didn't give you. Gideon did something about every concern he had. First of all, he had a good heart. In the garden of his heart, just like God, you know, this garden that represents the heart, he had good soil there. And there were some challenges, boulders in his garden he had to throw out. He had to believe that his first challenge was he had to believe what God was saying. He had to have enough zeal and determination to cast out the idols. That's the first. He got rid of that boulder. So the words grew deep in his heart. And he destroyed his father's altar and his idols. And took courage. He didn't, you know, even though, and that was a dangerous thing to do because the men outnumbered him. He did it anyway. It looked like he destroyed his father's altar and his idols. And took courage. He didn't, you know, even though, and that was a dangerous thing to do because the men outnumbered him. He did it anyway. It looked like he was going to get killed that day. Altar and his idols. And took courage. He didn't, you know, even though, and that was a dangerous thing to do because the men outnumbered him. He did it anyway. It looked like he was going to get killed that day. And he destroyed his father's altar and his idols. And took courage. He didn't, you know, even though, and that was a dangerous thing to do because the men outnumbered him. He did it anyway. It looked like he was going to get killed that day.
Or the next day, when the sun came, he
destroyed his father's altar and his idols. And took courage. He didn't, you know, even though, and that was a dangerous thing to do because the men outnumbered him. He did it anyway. It looked like he was going to get killed that day.
Or the next day, when
he destroyed his father's altar and his idols, and took courage. He didn't, you know, even though, and that was a dangerous thing to do because the men outnumbered him. He did it anyway. It looked like he was going to get killed that day.
Or the next day, when the sun came,
And he destroyed his father's altar and his idols. And took courage. He didn't, you know, even though, and that was a dangerous thing to do because the men outnumbered him. He did it anyway. It looked like he was going to get killed that day.
Or the next day when the sun came. But he didn't care. He did it anyway.
He destroyed his father's altar and his idols. And took courage. He didn't, you know, even though, and that was a dangerous thing to do because the men outnumbered him. He did it anyway. It looked like he was going to get killed that day.
Or the next day when the sun came. But he didn't care. He did it anyway.
Sometimes you can't save your life. You're just going to have to obey God. And then the next thing, he had to believe what the angel told him. Said, Lord, he did the best he knew. He put a fleece out. Let the ground be, let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. Let the ground be dry and the fleece be wet. You know, let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. He did it. The Lord did it both times. He said, well, he started receiving. Then the next thing the Lord said, if you're afraid to go down, go near the camp. And the Lord had prepared somebody. One man had a dream, and the other man interpreted it. See, in every country, there are people that can be potential prophets. And one man had a dream that a cake of barley bread rolled into the camp and destroyed it. And the other man said, this is nothing but Gideon, the man of God in Israel. And then he took courage. He was ready for action at that point. See, you'll be there. God's gonna encourage you. Whatever you need, you got some courage. He's gonna give you. He's gonna do things, and you're gonna have more courage. You'll get where you're going. Okay. And that's exactly what happened. And so he was ready for the next step. He accomplished that. God, you know, he allowed God to divide the men out. That didn't stop him.
Some people would stop right there. 20,000 men left, they would have fainted because fear looks to man. But he didn't have that kind of fear. He dealt with it. Whatever fear he had, he dealt with it. You can throw the rocks out of your garden. Whatever they be, you can throw them away. Almost 10,000 left. 9,700 men walked away. And he was left with 300 men to defend Israel against Midian with no weapons. Nothing but lamps and horns. He may have had, I don't know if he had weapons or not. But he had lamps and horns. He may have picked up the weapons that they left in the panic. But he did what he had to do. He was ready for the next step. He blew the horn, lit the pitchers. You know, when he broke the lamps, they could see the fire. See that, and then they heard the horns and they were surrounded. And they said, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they, man, the whole army just panicked, and they killed each other in their panic. Because fear looks to men. They looked up and they saw that they were surrounded. And they panicked. And died. And some of them fled. And Gideon and his 300 men pursued and killed many of those who fled. And they killed the kings, Oreb and Zeb. And I thank God that he won. Now this is your example of following God. He did something about the stony ground. And then the word grew deep. And he obeyed. Now, let's look at verse 18. Because every time I got to this, I had to briefly talk about it. Verse 18 reads, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." See, the enemy's trying to neutralize you. You can't fall for that junk. You don't have to. You don't have to fall for that. The people were so mesmerized by Gideon, they wanted to make him the ruler, the king. He said, "I won't rule over you, and my sons won't rule over you. The Lord rules over you." That reminds me so much of when Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." He didn't fall for the idol test. He won that. He stayed in faith, finished the work, and went forward. The enemy was trying to destroy Israel from within. And one of his sons went rogue, Abimelech. You know, he was the kind that had that like seed sown by the wayside. He was in full rebellion against God. Killed the rest of his sons. But Gideon did his part. He put Israel over. He took away the threat of the enemy. Like you're going to do. See, the anointing breaks the yoke, set people free. People get saved and released from the world. But the anointing works in obedient people. That's what the devil's afraid of. He's not afraid of man by himself, and he's not afraid of God by himself yet. Because God is limited by his word right now. Because man has the authority here. And the devil has a right to be here because he usurped man's authority. When Adam obeyed him, Adam didn't do what Jesus did. Adam bit off the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that, my friend, gave Satan the right to be here. He gave Satan his authority, is what he did. But Satan doesn't have a body. He has to tempt people to do his bidding. And men have to, you know, if he get people to sin, then he can destroy them. And he uses their authority against them. So he's not afraid of what God will do right now, because God is waiting until the time runs out. And then the devil's going to be afraid of God. You know, He uses deception against man. And the time's not going to last long. Because the order of man is about gone. And if you know, there's a 7 years that Israel has to spend. They did 69 weeks. They got 7 more to go. Daniel's 70th week. They got 1 more week of 7 years to fulfill. Now, with all that being said, it behooves us to go forward in the Lord. He can't conquer us. We already won. We have full authority over Satan and all of his power, all the way down to scorpions. All the demons, all the evil insects, the poisonous insect. We have authority over it. If you get bit by an adder or a viper or whatever, you can claim immunity and you'll be fine. You can stand on the scriptures and nothing, Jesus said if you get bit by a snake, it won't kill you. But you got to be in faith. You got to believe that. Anyway, if you don't believe it, it'll take effect against you. But if you believe it, you'll be fine. Just like Paul. He was bitten by a viper on Melita. And they didn't, you know, their opinions changed when that happened. It's all by faith, folks. You might as well learn to obey God, and you're going to see how powerful, what a powerful position God really put you in. But if you don't never take courage,